Sister Sharon, bless your heart.
I've had that awful sick headache I had last night. You know, that's the first thing. I got up this morning and I just sat and I said, God, please take this away from me.
Bless your heart.
Let me have a good day.
So, amen.
Y'all just bear with me. I don't really feel good.
Bless
you. God's going to take care of me.
Amen, so. Sister Sharon. God bless your heart. Amen. Yeah. Help them.
Us to do.
Amen.
So that's what it's all about.
Bless them, Lord.
Just bless Rita.
Bless them, Father. Hallelujah.
I'm singing a song today that represents what today is, Christ Arose.
Amen.
Come on.
sorry. We're going to try it one more time.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Come. That's a good song.
Yeah.
great sight.
I'd like to dedicate this song to my Uncle David. He loved this song, and I just wish I could have got to sing it for him before he passed away. But this is for you, David.
Yes.
There's a long black train coming down on the line, beating on souls that are lost and crying. Rails of sin, only evil remains. So watch out, brother, for that long black train. Staring back into your eyes, there is protection and there's peace the same. Burn in your ticket for that long black train. Don't you know there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father.
Good singing.
Yeah.
Good crowd. I ain't used to seeing this many people out here in front of me. A lot of these faces I have seen a few times, and some of you haven't seen it, or this may be the first time. Let me say this for a preach. I'm kind of like old Maze Jackson said about his preaching. He said his preaching was kind of like good baloney. He said you could cut it off either end, it's still good. Well, I'll cut both ends off of it, and I'll just give you the middle of it for the sake of time. But before I preach, let me just say this. I spent 34 years thinking Jesus was my enemy, running from him. And at the age of 34 years old, I finally come to know him personally as my Lord and Savior. I raised my little white flag up and I surrendered all. He took his rightful place on the throne of my heart. And for 31 years now, I've enjoyed the privilege to be able to call him my Lord. And he got the reward of his suffering. See, he gave his life a ransom for all.
Amen.
That's right.
He suffered. He died.
That's right.
For one reason, amen. For the joy that was set before him, that an old drunk named Eddie Wade at the age of 34 years old could find out that he's rich in mercy.
Yes.
To all that call upon him. He's never very far from any one of us.
That's
and you
right.
can find him
right.
if you feel after him.
Right.
Let me say this. If you don't know him, you can know him.
That's
and
right.
if you do know him, he'll make you whole.
Amen.
The reason I said that, because without him, your life's empty. You got a hunger you don't understand. You try to satisfy that hunger with the things of this world, and they just can't do it. He's the only one that can save, and he's the only one that can satisfy. Huh? Praise
Brother
the Lord for the good singing. I just wanted to throw that out there to you.
Brother Wade.
Yeah.
We have someone else that wants to do a song.
Okay, I didn't know that. Who we got?
Visitor.
Our granddaughter.
Come right on there. Amen.
Yeah.
I haven't been properly informed, and we welcome that. This is all about the Lord. It ain't about Brother Eddie. It ain't about you. We want to worship him. We want to give glory to him. And amen.
Do you want the system? What's the song?
Bless the Lord.
Brother Wade, I'd just like to say I want to thank the Lord for what we have already felt here this morning. And I want to thank each and every one for coming out.
Amen.
And everyone, my other grandson that's fighting for us in the country.
Amen.
I just want to lift my hands up to him and know that we're thinking about him.
Amen.
Cody.
Amen. Wonderful there, Sister Carolyn. Amen.
Let me make sure I get the commercials.
Bless the Lord.
I say,
I said, our whole desire is to worship, give glory and honor to Him.
That's right.
And I appreciate that song. Amen. Sorry I wasn't properly informed there. I got mixed up. I thought I was supposed to preach after Danny. Amen. Man, oh man, I'm making up mistakes as it is. But on my Bibles this morning, I'll be as brief as I can. Acts chapter number 1. We'll read about 3 verses right there, and we'll stop after those 3 verses. Acts chapter 1. The former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which He was taken up. After that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I want to preach this morning on infallible proofs. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for the beautiful day You've given us. We thank You, Father, for the great number that's before us.
Yes.
Lord, all of us have a need. Lord, You're able to supply our needs out of Your riches and glory. May You do Your mighty works here today, Lord. We confess our inability. Lord, we're not able to do anything. You said in Your Word, without You we can do nothing. And most people, Lord, sadly are doing nothing for the glory of God. But we ask for Your help today that we might be able to do something that might help someone to not only see You like they never saw You before, to love You like they've never loved You before, to be more apt, Lord, to follow You like they've never followed You before, and to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto You. For these privileges, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Infallible proofs. I had to go a little further. I had to look up that word infallible. That word means cannot be contested. Exempt from error. Absolutely trustworthy. So the Lord didn't just leave behind proofs. He left infallible proofs.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about a man building his house on a rock, and it fell not. That's the kind of infallible proofs I'm talking about.
Amen.
I've got 5 quick points here to throw out there, and I will throw them out there. The infallibility of His birth. A virgin conceived and became the mother of Jesus.
Yes.
Prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. Behold, the Lord will give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and be with child, and you shall call His name Emmanuel, being interpreted, which means God with us. God stepped down so we could go up.
Yeah.
He came down in a humble abode. He came down in the womb of a little virgin named Mary. Kings were afraid of this baby. Wise men worshiped this baby. Shepherds came from the field, left their flocks to behold this Lamb of God born in the manger. Angels proclaimed His deity, the infallibility of His birth.
Right.
They say today there's no such thing as a virgin birth. Without that virgin birth, we can't have a Savior.
That's right.
I was conceived in sin, and sin did my mother conceive me. I was born like all of y'all, just a sinner come from the grave.
That's right.
As soon as I was born, speaking lies, crying with nothing wrong, wanting attention. Because I tell you what, we're all just like that. We're full of ourselves and all of that. But He didn't come to make a reputation of Himself. He didn't come seeking attention. He came to give His life a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Now the infallibility of His birth, think about that for a minute. Who ever heard such a thing? He came down just like the Bible said, born of a virgin.
Yeah, that's right.
Now listen, young maidens have children all the time. But this was a virgin. She'd never known a man.
That's right.
The angel Gabriel came to her, gave her the news, and she said, how can this be? Seeing I know not a man. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. She was a willing participant. She allowed him entrance into this world.
Yes.
The infallibility of his birth. The infallibility of his life. Isaiah 9 verse 6 through 7 gives a lot of explicits about his life. He done miracles. He commanded devils, they came out. He commanded winds and waves, and they were still. He walked on the water. He fed the multitudes. He forgave sins.
Amen.
They said, who can forgive sins but God only? He couldn't deny it because he was God manifested in the flesh.
That's right.
But just think about this. 2019 years ago, something special happened.
That's right. Amen.
So special, we set our time by that. He left his mark upon the world. They've been trying to erase it, but you can't. Oh, listen, infallibility of his life. Never a man spake like him. No man ever done the things he done. The works declared who he was. The infallibility not only of his birth and of his life, but the infallibility of his death. Isaiah 53 verse 12. They didn't have no funeral procession. The reason he came to this world was to die. He paid the sin debt of the whole world. His blood was shed. His body was beaten and bruised. He was nailed to a cross with a crown of thorns upon his brow. He was lifted up between heaven and earth.
Yeah.
That was the mission that he came to do. He said, for this cause came I into the world to give my life a ransom for all. Not only the infallibility of his birth, his life, and his death, but the infallibility of his burial. Isaiah 53 verse 9, he made his grave with the rich. He was taken down from the cross. He was properly wrapped in linen. He was mourned and missed by many. His tomb was sealed. His tomb was guarded. But he only needed to borrow that tomb for 3 days. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to know, Sister Rita sung that song. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty victory over his foes. He arose from the dark domain and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose! He arose! Hallelujah! Christ arose!
Amen.
If he didn't get up, we might as well go on about our business. We ain't got a thing to look forward to.
That's right.
Glory to God, he got up.
Amen.
They said the other day they found a tooth of Buddha. They ain't going to find no tooth of my Savior.
Amen.
The Muslims say all we've got to boast about is an empty tomb. Glory to God. Don't they get that? If the tomb's empty, that means he got up. The angel said, come on in here and look. He ain't dead. He's alive. Why seek ye the living among the dead? I'm telling you, he just wanted to borrow a tomb for a little while.
That's it.
Joseph of Arimathea had that tomb cut out. Ready, waiting, he went and begged the body of Jesus.
Yeah.
They put Jesus in that tomb. And the world thought all was lost, but no. Like Jonah, 3 days in the belly of the whale, he's only going to borrow that tomb for 3 days.
Yeah.
Like Jonah said, out of the belly of hell I cried, he descended down to the lower parts of this earth and preached unto them that were captive. And I want you to know, David said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Thou wilt not let thy Holy One see corruption. I want you to know, buddy, he went down there. And I want you to know, he interrupted the party. And he got the keys of death and hell. And he said, behold, I'm he that was dead. And I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And because he lives, amen. I can go on.
That's right.
The world will do you a bad hand. They'll lie to you. They'll betray you.
That's
they'll
right.
Try to steal every promise you got. But I want you to know, he'll never lie to you. I want you to know, he'll do you every way. But well, he'll do you good. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. They sealed that tomb and guarded it, and he still got up.
Yeah.
Amen. The infallibility of his resurrection. He got up. He showed up to their dismay. They even promoted a lie. They said, tell that his disciples come, stole his body away, and they gave soldiers a large sum of money for that propaganda. It's called false news or fake news, I think they say nowadays. A lot of things going around now that ain't true. They're teaching our children in school, they're teaching their lies.
Yeah.
They're planting seeds of incorruption. Thank God for Sunday school. Thank God for church.
Yeah.
When you come in, here's some truth, fellas. Amen. When you come in, praise God. Hear songs that lift him up. Hear messages, amen. That declare his great love. Greater love has no man than this. That he laid down his life for his friends. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son. Propitiation for our sins. That's love.
Amen.
Amen. I remember one time my mom and my dad got in a big fight. That's about all they ever did. Dad went out the house, slammed the door. Mama went to the bedroom to weep. I was younger than you, Tegan. I went to my mama. I didn't know what to do. I told my mama, I said, Mama, I love you. My mama in the bitterness of that moment, she looked at me and she said, you don't know what love is. And that is true. If you want to know what love is, look at Calvary.
Right.
I want you to know that's the greatest demonstration of love I've ever seen.
Amen.
In my life.
Right.
When I tell you what, he took my beating from me. I got to go free like Barabbas. I want you to know he took my place. Amen. He paid the price for my sins.
Yeah.
He allowed me to be pardoned and to be abundantly pardoned. I want you to know the infallibility of his love. It's real. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, somebody said, nobody loves me. That might be true until you consider Jesus.
Right.
He loves all.
That's right.
With the same degree of love. Loves you just as much as he loves me, Carolyn.
Amen.
Amen. Loves you just as much as he does me, Brother Jerry. Somebody said, well, God couldn't love me, give him a chance.
That's right.
Won't you ask him to come in?
That's right.
Won't you say, Lord, if you love me, won't you forgive me my sin? Won't you save my soul? Oh, the psalmist that says, Psalm 34, verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The word of God says, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now, saith the Lord, and let us reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. He loves you enough to forgive you. He loves you enough to save you. Won't you love him enough to give him a chance? Amen. I want to throw one more in here. I didn't have this wrote down. But I want you to know the infallibility of his birth, the infallibility of his life, the infallibility of his death, the infallibility of his resurrection. I want you to know the infallibility of his judgment. Paul said Christ is ready to judge the quick and the dead. His appearing, he may come today.
Yeah.
Oh, I know we've heard like a broken record. Where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they did that day. On an hour, you think not, he's coming. Ready or not, we used to play hide and seek.
That's right.
Hanging. We'd all get good and hidden. Somebody over on a tree. They'd be trying to count the 100. They couldn't none of us count that far. We just couldn't hear that. You know. There we'd say, ready or not, here I come. You try to be really good and hidden.
Right.
Well, listen, just like that. Ready or not,
he's coming.
He said, be ye ready. For an hour, you think not that some man's coming. Look, you may not be ready. If the Lord was to come today, and if he was to come today and you wasn't ready, you'd be left behind.
Yeah, right.
Now, let me give you a scenario on this. All you doubters and all you that aren't ready, if he was to come today and you got left behind, let me tell you what your odds are of making it to heaven. Here's what happens if you don't get saved by grace. Here's what happens if you don't allow Jesus to be Lord and Savior. And you realize all of a sudden he is right and you is wrong. And it is real. And the church is gone. And all babies go straight to heaven. Because without the law, no knowledge of sin. They don't know the Ten Commandments. And even to get rid of them, they're really in your heart. But anyway, they didn't say the children allows them to go straight to heaven. All the aborted babies are in heaven right now. The fruit of the womb is reward. Bless the man, God's quiver full of. I just want you to know we've committed a terrible murder aborting these babies.
Yeah, boy.
Really don't have the conscience to understand how we got there, but I'll tell you one thing. I know who's the father of it. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. But anyway, if the church gets caught up, you get left behind, here's what you got to do. You got to love not your life unto death. You're going to be hunted like an animal.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to have the testimony of Jesus. That's going to be tough on the Antichrist down here.
That's right.
Last of all, you're going to have to keep the Ten Commandments. You can't keep one of them.
No.
I can't neither.
Right, no.
Amen.
31 years ago, I pleaded guilty, and I was guilty.
Yeah.
I got my case thrown out of court. God put my sin on the blood. There wasn't no evidence. I got thrown out of court. Now the accuser ain't got nothing to accuse me of because it's on the blood. And I promise you this. Sin demands a payment. Romans 6:23.
Yeah.
The wages of sin is death. It will demand a payment. Ain't nothing worse than having a creditor calling you, beating your door, wanting to be paid.
Yeah.
And I want you to know, worse than any creditor there is the one that comes for the payment of your sins. He will not let up. I'm so glad there's one willing to pay your sin debt. One willing to forgive you your sin. One that says, hey, I'll love you. If you'll let me, I'll help you. And if you turn him down, you'll have an eternity to regret that.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
I regretted a lot of things. But I've never regretted one second of giving Jesus my heart.
Right. Amen.
I wish I could go through it again, Brother Mitchell.
Amen.
I really would. I'd like to go through it again. It's the most wonderful thing.
Amen.
You know, I've been through it. I had everything.
Right.
I did. I lived on the mountaintops. I done all the things that people like to do.
Yeah.
But I had never been saved. And I didn't know what I was missing out on, Brother Ed.
That's right.
Right.
And, you know, not knowing what you're missing out on kind of hinders you to know what you need.
That's right.
So I run from
it. Amen.
And I run and run and run. One day I run out of room. When I say I run out of room, God's going to give me one more chance. How old are you, Tegan?
10.
A little boy 2 years younger than Tavian come in the bedroom of his drunk father. He was 8 years old. I was 34 years old. The night before, I bragged about how I was going to get drunk on Sunday and go fishing. That was my norm. That's what you can find me doing on Sunday like lots of people today. I see them mowing the yard and hunting turkey and fishing and doing those kind of things. Lovers of pleasure, more lovers of God, you know what I mean? Anyway, on that Sunday morning, after I'd bragged on a Saturday night that I was going to get drunk and go fishing the next day, my bedroom door opened up, and to my surprise, a little 8-year-old boy came in the bedroom with his drunk daddy. Had a big old beard back then. He walked up to his drunk daddy, and I'm trying to get my fishing clothes on. And Eric, he said, "Daddy, will you please go to church with me today? I just want to tell you, that's the first time I saw the real Eddie Wade. I saw the Eddie Wade I wanted to see for 34 years, but I haven't ever seen this Eddie Wade. I saw Eddie Wade lost and undone without God. I'll tell you what, I didn't like what I seen. I didn't want to admit it. I didn't like what I seen." And he said, "Daddy, will you please go to church with me today?" I could have told anybody in here no. Yeah. I wouldn't have had no problem at all. I could have told you no. Forget it.
Yeah.
You're wasting your time. But that little 8-year-old boy, Joanne, tears dripping off his cheek, the little lip a quivering. I couldn't tell him no. I wanted to. I crushed on that load.
Amen.
I needed that.
That's
God
right.
Set that. That's he set that up, Karen.
Yeah, he did.
He said, "I'm going to give this old boy one more chance."
Yeah, right.
I'm glad he's the God of the second chance. You know, the Word of God came to tell me the second time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And old Peter, after he went out wet bitterly, the Lord sent him out. He done greater works for God after bad than he did 49 and 3 times.
Yeah.
That's right.
Listen, he gave me a chance. And even though I choked on the words, I said, "Of course, we're going to church today." He went running down the hall. "Mama, Mama, Daddy's going to church me today. Mama, Daddy's going to church me today." I'm back here in World War III with the devil. I'll cut this off real quick here. But I went to church that day with my family for the first time.
Amen.
We went to a Bible preaching church. I'd actually carpooled to work with this preacher. I knew him well. We used to ride motorcycles together. He had a 650 Triumph. I had a Harley Davidson Sportster. Man, we thought we was bad. Out there riding them big loud motorcycles up and down the highway like idiots. I was drinking. I even got him to drink. He's up there behind the pulpit now. Not back on the back row taking. Buddy, he didn't hold no punches. See, God chose the foolish of preaching to save them that believe. I need to preach
it. Yeah, that's right.
He preached that message that day. All the idle words that men speak, they'll be given account of in the day of judgment.
Right.
And I had a filthy mouth, filthy mind. Everything else about me was filthy. I was filthy and lost, needed a good cleaning. Man, he got up there and got preaching. I got all mad. I thought, my wife has told him everything I've ever done. When we get home, she's happy. That's the way we think.
Yeah, right.
I thought she slipped him a note and told him everything I've ever done, but she didn't have a thing to do with it.
No. Amen. That's right.
He kept on preaching. I got big and mad not only at her, I got big and mad at him, Rita. I thought, I'm going to hit her in the mouth on the way out the door, and I'll tell you what to do it. I meant it. I was mad. When he got done preaching, they gave the invitation, and they sung the song, Just As I Am. I want you to know I would never do nothing.
That's right.
They had to help me out of church.
Yes, you bless you.
I didn't get saved that Sunday, but I got saved the next day. The very next day, under such condemnation and conviction, seeking a refuge for my soul, I've worked with a man that always tried to talk to me about Jesus. I'd always walked away from him, believe me, I wasn't interested.
Amen.
I talked about things that wasn't fit to talk about, and he let me know he wasn't interested. He walked away, fellas. We have mutual respect for each other.
Amen.
This now it's different. Now I want to find Wendell Shaw.
That's right.
I'm thinking Wendell Shaw can tell me what I need to do to be saved. Because I did want to be saved. I didn't know how, but I wanted to be saved.
Right.
And I'll wrap this up real quick and I'll be done. But I went out at R. Donnelly and Sons where I worked for 32 years, 10 acres underneath the roof, and I'm looking frantically for Wendell Shaw. I'm asking, you seen Wendell? You seen Wendell? These guys are busy. Eddie, we're busy. We don't know where he is. We got work to do. And they're working, you know, and I'm looking for Wendell. Finally, somebody headed up to here and said, Eddie, I think he's in the foreman's office, and he was. And I went and opened up that door to that foreman's office, and there him and the foreman was talking about printing. And I opened up that door, and I said, I don't care what neither one of y'all's talking about. I said, I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I need somebody to tell me how to be saved.
Amen.
And I would like to get a picture of this man's face. And when I said that, that would have made monumental front page on any newspaper. Because, I mean, their jaw hit the floor. Mm-hmm. And that foreman quoted about five Bible verses to me, something like Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Or Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Right.
Something along those lines. And you know what? It didn't have no effect on me. And I'll tell you why they didn't. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God,
right,
neither can he know them. I couldn't receive them without being saved.
Right.
I mean, they just did not register. They just did not have an effect on me. When Michelle said, Eddie, I want us to leave right now, we walked out of that foreman's office. I'm going to guess that foreman was in there praying for us. We was out there in the hallway between the foreman's office and the break room. People brushing our shoulders on each side. He gave me the greatest illustration I've ever heard in my life. He said, Eddie, Jesus loves you, Eddie.
Hey.
He said he just waiting for you to ask him.
Right. Yeah.
He said, Eddie, let me give you an illustration. He said, if your little boy had done something wrong and he come to you and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He said, Eddie, what would you do?
Forgive him.
I said, well, one, I'd forgive him. He said, it's the same way with God. He said, just come to his spirit and be sorry.
Amen.
You know what? That gave me the faith to call upon God and believe him to do what I needed.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait to get home, and I drove all the way home to 9000 Edmund Road, went back there in the back bedroom, knelt down there by my bedside. I still remember exactly what I prayed. I knelt down and I said, dear Lord, somebody told me you love me. Somebody told me that if I would ask you, you'd forgive me my sins and you'd save my soul. And I said, the best way I know how, right here, right now,
amen,
I'm asking you to save me. Lo and behold, all my guilt, all my condemnation left like a snake's skin, and the peace of God that passes understanding, and the joy and unspeakable of being saved was so wonderful. I got up and looked in the mirror, and actually, I guess I must have thought I was going to have a halo. I don't know, but I'm looking in the mirror, and I can't see no difference, but boy, it sure is different. And I went out there and worked, and we had some awkward moments. They expected me to curse, and I wasn't cursing no more.
Yeah.
They expected me to drink, and I wasn't drinking no more. I went all over Glasgow apologizing to people, giving them cussing, right about how drunk I was going to get. Let me tell you something. You get good and saved, you'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It may take a while, but it'll show up. Some big God moves in, it'll show up somewhere.
That's right.
But he took his rightful place upon the throne of my heart. And the only regret I got is I wish I'd done it sooner.
Amen.
Right.
The infallibility of his mission. He finished it on the cross. The only part left is your part.
Yeah, that's right.
As many as received him, to them gave he power to become children of God, even to them that believe upon his name. St. John chapter 1, verse 12. If you've never believed on him, if you've never asked him, well, answer this question for me. Don't raise your hand. But just listen to what I'm asking, because you're the only one who can answer this.
That's right.
If you was to die today, and you very well may, my daughter died on a beautiful day just like today, beautiful Sunday day just like today. I just got home from church, got a phone call, and she had died in a car wreck. You may die today.
That's right.
But let me ask you this. If you was to die today, answer this as truthfully as you can. Would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Because I want you to know death is more certain than life. There's somebody dying right now. There's 200 people over in St. Goliath that were murdered in a church bombing.
Yeah, yeah.
The uncertainty of the day and hour we're living in, only one man I know that is certain, that's Jesus, is coming back, and I'm leaving with him when he does. That's an infallibility. You can argue with that all you want. He's still going to show up just like he did the first time.
Right.
And when he does, he's taking a bunch of people back with him. The foundation of God standing sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows me. I know him. I know him personally. He knows me by name, calls me by name. We fellowship a lot.
Yeah.
I fellowship with him on the way to church this morning. But listen, what's the answer to that question? If you die today, you very well may. I've heard people dying during church service, fell out on the floor.
Yeah, right.
Answer this question. Would you go to heaven? Or would you go to hell?
Right.
We're going to give an invitation right here in just a second. If you couldn't answer that question affirmative, I'd go to heaven. Why not do something about it while you can?
Right.
Best but a step away. There ain't no better day than today to give God the reward of his suffering, to give him the joy that he's willing to suffer and die for.
Amen.
That's that he can say, go in peace, your sins are forgiven.
Right.
Father, we thank you for the privilege to brag upon your son. To brag upon the greatness and infallibility of the record you gave of him. All the things, Lord, that he did, if it was all wrote down, the world couldn't contain the books written therein. Lord, we're fixing to give an invitation. The words went out. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would do his work. I pray it'll rest, Lord, with conviction of those that aren't ready. Those that are saved, just bless them real good. May they whisper a prayer in their heart. Lord, may we all be able to enjoy the remainder of this day, enjoy the food, enjoy all the things, Lord, that you've allowed us to have and enjoy in this world. But Lord, if there's one here lost today, I pray that they, without any hesitation at all, would come forward. I'd be glad to pray with them. I'd be glad to personally introduce them to you. And for that thing, we ask in Jesus' name, your blessed will be done. Amen. Well, I'd ask everybody to stand. I'd like to get Brother Jerry and Sister Sharon, please, sing a verse of invitation on him. I'm here right now. I do know how to be saved. I know how to tell you how to be saved. You got to confess you're a sinner, and you got to ask him to forgive you, and you got to ask him to save you. But I promise you this, I can help you if you want to truly be saved. If you want to fill your head tonight with the peace of God, to know that the worst thing that happened to you is wake up in heaven, you come on up here, and we'll get it fixed.
Number 122.
122. If you don't come, I want you to know I've done all I can do. I pleaded with you, prayed for you, preached to you.